It's Angelina. Welcome back to another episode. Today I'm with a guest.
Hi, everybody. I'm Derek. I am a grade 12 student from William Lyon Mackenzie CI. That's in Toronto, Canada. So I don't know. Cool, I guess. And I met Angelina through LBW from the Wharton Global Youth Program. So it's very cool to meet you again today. And I'm looking forward to fielding some questions and talking a little bit.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. If you guys have been listening for a while, like a lot of our previous guests have also been people I've met at LBW. So I think it's super cool that I get to reconnect with you today. But just getting into it, during this episode, I'm going to be chatting with Derek about the world of audiovisual technology and his experience with it. So to give some context, audiovisual, or AV for short, it's just like a broad term for electronic media. So think of things like TV shows, films, radio, etc. So, Derek, if you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, like your passions and hobbies, and maybe get into what AV is a little bit more.
Yeah, sure. So I would describe myself as like a very techie person just because I try to involve myself in it a lot in school, and it's just fun. So the main things that I do for my school, at least, is a lot of the audiovisual components for like shows. I work with a camera very, very often, and it's actually one of my favorite pastimes and one of my passion projects as well. Outside of school, also, I work for a few organizations. So the biggest one I do right now is for Canada FBLA. I am kind of the logistics director or officer there. And what that means is I take the reins for like the annual conference that we do, and that part of it is like audiovisual. And so it's all been a lot of fun. Were there any specifics that you wanted to know about AV, or just let me ramble?
If you can give them a better idea, because I gave them like a pretty simple definition, because to be honest, I don't really know what it is that well. So if you have any insight, like any examples of projects you've done in the past.
Sure. So audiovisual is exactly what it sounds like. So audio, that has everything to do with like microphones, speakers, playing music, organizing, all of that stuff. And then visual, so that's mostly lighting. Usually streaming is included in that, at least with what I do. And so I've been part of like the tech team or the AV team at my school for basically the entirety of high school. And that has been like going into this dark, musty room every other week and like trying to figure out, like untangle a wire for an hour and a half, or like just it sounds really tedious now that I say it out loud, but it is just like playing with like electronics. But of course they have their practical applications as well. For shows, we always need to coordinate with teachers and like the school admin as well. And so it's been a really good experience with like getting involved more in school and like being closer to the school population as well. Like I feel like you get a lot of privileges when you do AV, so like keep that in mind if you want to, I don't know, if you want to like go to the no-no places in like your school, because I get access to like freaking, what's it called? Like the weirdest places in the school that like no one else is allowed to go to. And I don't know, it's just really fun to do that.
Yeah,
But
that's actually interesting. Sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted to clarify, like, what do you mean by shows? Because at least in my school, like down in SoCal, we don't have shows. Is that like theater or?
yeah, so at our school, we typically do two main performances. And that's just done at the school. We have like a cafeteria that can flip into an auditorium. And in those like times, like the students prepare like acts and they like perform whatever they have. I would say that our school is pretty like artistically inclined. And so we have like a lot of people who dance. We have like a concert band and stuff like that. And like in class there's like drama class and there's a bunch of other stuff. And so our school gives the opportunity for students to kind of express their stuff in a more like meaningful way, like in a performance. So yeah, it's a really fun time and it happens twice a year.
Oh, cool. And going off of that, especially with your school environment being more like artistically inclined and things like that, is that how you discovered your passion for AV or was it through another route?
Oh, okay. So like my high school has been very artistically inclined. My elementary school was an arts school. It's called like Claude Watson School for the Arts. I got into that via audition in grade 4, and then I stayed there up until grade 8. And so that really taught me everything arts. It was like embedded in the curriculum. So like I would be like in math one period and like freaking, oh, it was a class I hated. Orff. Orff is like when you play like percussion instruments or like, you know, xylophones and that kind of thing. That like they really kind of push the idea of art as like even a profession in me at a very young age. So that's also where I got introduced to film. They had a focus art called film arts. That was actually taught by my principal, which was pretty cool. And there, like we had access to all the cameras and the stuff and like editing software. And like me being like in seventh grade, I didn't know how to use any of that, but it was really interesting to see. And that got me into this, like into the future.
Yeah, that sounds like a really cool opportunity. But just for the listener's sake, like, I'm not sure if there's that many art schools in America, at least, or at least in my area. So were there any other ways that you explored your passion with AV outside of school that maybe listeners could do as well?
For sure. So going into summer of grade 10, I think, I started like a passion project called ECL Easy. So what I do for ECL Easy is basically like there are a bunch of organizations around Toronto that are run by students primarily, and they're like kind of just starting out. And so what I do is like I reach out to them and then I offer to like cover and do some marketing for whatever initiatives that they have. So like, for example, I did an event for Gold Bear GTA. I think Gold Bear is a thing in the States, but like it's Gold Bear GTA. It's like a homeless, it's like a charity that empowers homeless women. And so I did like video coverage of their first event, and then they had that posted on their like Instagram and their website. And another thing I did was like CodeSpire, where I would, they had like a January event, and then I also did like video coverage for that, and that got like their speakers pretty happy as well. So they were able to like kind of use like my coverage as a stepping stone, which I thought was like, it was pretty nice. So yeah, like videos and being able to produce a video is like a very sought after talent that very few people want to put the effort into. And so like when you can basically like just ask somebody, can I make a video for you? And they'll almost always say yes, unless like there are other circumstances. I don't know. They will say yes. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's really cool. You were able to like help your community while also furthering your own passion project. But like you're talking about having that talent or that skill of video editing. So can you get into like how you got that talent or how you got that skill a little bit? Like, do you have classes at your school, or was it just because you've been in like art school throughout like your elementary school and middle school career? Like, how did you learn it?
I think I was mostly self-taught, actually. So like, as I mentioned, the film arts program I had during elementary school definitely helped me like realize that these things exist. Like I learned what a video editing software was there. Didn't know about that. But in grade 9, the first thing that I taught myself during the pandemic was like this program called DaVinci Resolve, which is like a free video editing software. And it's really, really good. It has like the full suite of what you need. And finding footage was definitely the hard part, like finding something to edit, right? Because you can't really work with a blank canvas. So what I did was like, I just asked my friends, like, do you have video of like, I don't know. I remember like one was like someone filmed like a family trip or something. And then I was like, oh, okay, can I cut that? And they were like, sure. So I did that. And like, if you have like friends that like, oh, want to start a YouTube channel, like that was one of my friends. And I was able to make a video for him. And that improves my skills like by a lot. Also for school, like for some reason, our school offers a lot of opportunities to be like creative and quirky. And so like whenever there was a chance for me to make a video for an assignment, I would take it. This could be in like English. It could be in like most of the social sciences. Actually for science, like biology and chemistry, I had to make a few videos for that. I don't know why I did, but like, you know, I took the opportunity, you know? So that's how I did it.
Yeah, it's really great. I think this is all really good advice, especially for people who are trying to get into video editing and video production, because like you said, just like take advantage of the opportunities around you. And did you use YouTube to learn it, or did you just like play around with the software that you got?
I primarily just played around with the software, but like there are definitely things that you need to like figure out where it is, because it's like really confusing, the interface. Thankfully though, DaVinci Resolve has like a very good set of tutorials, and there are like freelance creators that do that all the time. Like filmmaking is a very strong community, and if you want to get into it, like it's a good time. So I recommend.
Yeah, great. Okay, so going back to ECL Easy, would you want to talk about maybe some obstacles you face while trying to start it up and like recruiting people to do the project with you?
Yeah, actually the recruitment was the most difficult part. So as I mentioned, the talent for video editing is freaking impossible to find. Like even if someone, I guess, had the potential to be a really good video editor, it takes hours to put like a 1 minute cut together. And so like finding people was definitely hard. So I moved to a model where I would just like contact individuals, not for like a full, I guess, full-time work. It's just like, do you want to take over this video? And they'd be like, sure, okay. So that's one video that I have covered. And then of course I do a lot of it on my own as well. It was very, very time consuming. So like I've basically scaled back in going into this year, which is pretty unfortunate, but I do hope to start it up again like second semester. Yeah. And I think I was very lucky as well, because again, Toronto has a very good arts space and I was kind of in that already. So we have like high school arts programs as well, and they kind of, there's literally a dedicated film arts major in the high school that's pretty close to me. So like just finding people there, pretty helpful.
Yeah, that's good advice. And going back to the thing where you said like you would ask people to like maybe just like edit one video, was that kind of like the foot in the door phenomenon where like you get them to do one thing and they're more likely to do another thing for you? Or was it like just like more scattered around and you like got more people involved, but not to a super like deep extent, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think instead of foot in the door, it was definitely a door in the face, because giving them one thing to do, it basically like, it's so much time. Like, I don't even know how I can deal with it, but like, you know, it is what it is. And I understand that people don't want to edit for free, because like video editing as a profession, like it's a good profession. It's a genuine thing that you can get into. So doing it for free is definitely not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like a lot of effort, so I have to commend you on that. But speaking of the time commitment, how do you balance like all this AV stuff with your schoolwork and like academics, school, social life, things like that?
So for like my academics and like all the other commitments that I have going on, I think that, well, academics absolutely come first for me. And like, because it's scaling up in difficulty now in grade 12 or senior year, is that what you guys call it? Senior year. I kind of like, I force myself to put a backseat on everything else when like my academics are tanking. But for when I do have like the occasional like day or hour, that's the time where I can take and like get some good work done. And definitely like working in teams, like for a lot of the organizations that I'm part of, it's very much team-based. And that's a really great chance to be able to delegate. But of course, like taking up my own Slack is definitely like a responsibility that I have. But overall, it's been relatively balanced and I'm not facing too much difficulty because, oh, this is good advice, I think. If you have the ability to, make your first semester the easiest semester it can be out of the year's courses. Because I have a really chill semester right now. Only two of my courses actually gives homework because the teachers on the other two are pretty chill. So that has helped me a lot, like a lot. If I had homework from all four courses, I would actually cry. So yeah.
By make like your first semester like lighter, do you mean for each year or just for grade 12?
I think for each year, actually. I mean, like for grade 9 and 10, it doesn't matter that much just because the courses themselves are pretty easy. But when like my step into grade 11 was really bad. Like I did not know how I was going to figure everything out. I didn't know how to balance my extracurriculars with my academics because I had four pretty difficult courses with a heavy course load. But my second semester was relatively easy. And I was like, where was this the first semester? And so that's kind of a mistake that I learned from.
Okay, yeah, that's good advice. Okay, just ending off the episode a little bit, I want to ask you a couple last questions. So do you have any other advice that you would give to people who are also interested in doing something similar as you? I know you mentioned some good points earlier, but if there's anything else you want to add in.
Sure. So to get into AV, I think the easiest and most direct route is just to find your school's tech club, tech team, AV team. They almost exist in every school and you'll meet like people that share that same passion as you, and you'll feel a little bit less like kind of alienated from the whole idea because it is like a pretty niche thing to be doing. If you ever want inspiration, I highly recommend Casey Neistat's daily vlogs. He's my idol. He's very cool. I actually was able to meet him on the street like this September because I was in New York for an event. That was really, really cool. Do that and then like just like make something. It takes a long time, but when you make it and then you're proud of it, like that'll cause you to, that's like the only thing that's going to keep you going when you finally get to your end product. But yeah, and have fun. Like if I wasn't having fun, I would not do this at all, but I'm okay with it right now.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. That's good advice. And going back to your first point about joining like the AV team or like the AV club at your school, like if you guys don't have one at your school, mm-hmm. don't be afraid to start one. Don't be afraid to make one. Just gather some friends who are also interested and go for it, because when you step out of your comfort zone, that's where you can really like explore your passions to the fullest extent. Okay. Yeah. So last question, is video production or like video editing something you want to continue pursuing in the future? And if so, how do you plan on doing it?
So it was something that I previously considered, but I think at this point, I want to keep it as like a hobby. But like the issue with that again is videos and like camera stuff is a very expensive hobby. So like I either need to go full pro in it, or I need to have a job that pays me well enough to be able to sustain the hobby. Probably going to go for the second route, but like, yeah, it's always an option.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting because in my last episode, I actually was talking to Nikki and she wants to like get into being an author. And she said the same thing as you, like she wants to pursue being a lawyer so that she has enough money and like financial stability to be able to explore and continue her passion with writing. So I think that's really interesting. But I think we're going to wrap up the episode right now. But I wanted to thank you for being on the podcast. You did a really good job. It was really interesting to get a better look into AV. So is there anything else you want to leave the listeners with?
No, just thank you so much. Like seeing your work as well, it's really great to kind of know that people are making podcasts. I didn't know that this was a thing. Very cool stuff. All right. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Thank you. Okay, so make sure to tune in next Monday for another study break episode. And yeah, talk soon. Bye.